All right, here we go. My name's Wes, and I'm one of the pastors from Ridge Church, just up the street. I think we've had Bobby come over once before. The way I describe it is he's the bald pastor, and I'm the buff pastor, and that's kind of the way that we work. So as a side note, I think he might be here next week. You can say I said that. It's totally fine. We usually pick at each other a bit, but that's just kind of the way we roll. When you've been together for, I don't know how long we've been together, to be honest, almost 10 and a half years. I'm looking at my wife. She's in the back with our two kids. Is that right? 10 and a half years? You know, you really do become just so much of a family that you kind of pick at each other a little bit, right? And if you don't, it's boring, and it should be fun. So anyways, hey, like I said, I'm one of the pastors from over there. We're going to jump into the message this morning. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 18. I was in the restroom here earlier, and I looked in the mirror, and I noticed, one, I don't know if you know this, I'm a ginger. You can tell. And my daughter, you'll be able to figure out. You'll see. Just in a minute, you'll notice her. She's also a ginge. And then when I was in the restroom, I looked in the mirror, and I was like, man, I got a lot more sun yesterday than I realized. And I was like, I don't know why I feel so hot. But then I put two and two together. I didn't sunscreen a bit, and now I'm paying the price. But, hey, there were some yards that needed to be mowed, and they are mowed. So I'm calling it a win. And it's really not the worst sunburn. I told my wife this morning I was putting on my base tan, and I should be good now, you know, in August. All right, so before we go, I apologize, I'm a little bit hoarse. Like I said, I mowed yesterday, so my allergies are a little bit funky. And then a couple of weeks ago, I had COVID, which is still a thing, as a side note, apparently. And with that, I feel great, but my voice sounds like the Cookie Monster, and that's a bit weird. So if you will, let's pray, and we're going to jump in. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are. God, I love you, and I just ask you to just be with us this morning. We know that you're always with us. You tell us that. Your word tells us that. Your spirit reminds us of that all the time. But God, we just ask you to be with us as we study your word. Your word is the word of life. God, that you would speak into our hearts, that we would see this book as having authority over our lives, and that it would transform who we are. And God, for any that come into this room today that don't know you as Lord and as Father, that today you would open their eyes and their ears, that you would put a beating in their heart, the faith to follow you. So God, we just ask that in a mighty way you would be glorified, and that yourself, you would make yourself known. Father, you are the greatest treasure in our existence. There is nothing that matters quite like you. So, Father, please move in our lives. Stir within us a deep love for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you will, turn to Matthew 18. We're going to be in the last part of it, the 21 through 35. That's going to be our main text. And we're going to, I would name this sermon, Forgiven People, Forgive People. And I would kind of open it up with, have you ever forgiven someone only for them to hurt you again? It's kind of like mopping the floor and then spilling coffee back on it, right? And I think all of us, we've probably lived enough life to know that in humanity, being hurt or wounded by another person is not rare, right? I mean, if you've worked in an office setting, you've experienced it. If you've been in a relationship with anyone, you've experienced it. If you were a ginger in elementary school, you experienced it, right? We experienced it on a whole lot of different levels. During election season, we experience it. At a ball game, we experience it. Like any scenario that you want to kind of throw out, we know that hurt people, and we live in a world filled with hurt people. And because of that, the need to forgive other people is significant. And here's the thing where I would say this is kind of a blanket statement, not just about any one church in particular, but the church. Oftentimes, we are the worst at forgiving. the deepest wounds that I've experienced in my life have not been from non-Christians. Anybody? Look, can we be real enough to say that, hey, sometimes in church we get it wrong? And in a lot of our experiences, maybe your story is a lot like mine, and maybe it's not, but in my experience in life, one of the things that I had struggled with the most in my faith journey was the church, and has been the church. Now, I will say I love the church now. Like, I'm at a different point in my life, but one of the reasons that, especially as I was going through college and I got out of high school and all of these things, I really resented the Christian walk and resented Christianity, and it wasn't really about Jesus at all, but it was because of, guess what? The church. Because we are really quick to love forgiveness unless it's our requirement to forgive someone else. We hold grudges like no other. In fact, this is why when you hear churches that split, oftentimes it's about the stupidest stuff. Oh, well, the carpet color. Oh, well, this, that. Oh, well, that, the other. Right? I mean, it's really not ever, very rarely is it something that matters. Because at the end of the day, carpet's carpet. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? And that's the church. As a side note, I didn't say this in the beginning as I introduced myself. I'm an interactive guy, so if you want to speak back, I do not get offended by that or thrown off. And I'll just be real. Like, if it's a really stupid question, I'll just ignore you. I'll be like, what are we doing? All right? But if it's a good one, I'm going to go with it. All right? We're going to lean in. Because the point here isn't to hear me speak, but us to grow closer to Christ and to understanding of the Word and to actually mature in our faith. And sometimes, guess what? Questions matter. Right? I mean, if it's dumb, I'm going to ignore you. I'll just be real. Like, I don't mean to be mean, but I'll be like, yeah, okay. There's always one, right? I'm usually the one. That's why I say that very confidently. It's like, what is he doing? Okay, so please feel free to speak. It will not bother me. It will not. One of the weirdest moments I ever had teaching was in the mission field. So this is just proof that your questions won't bother me. I was speaking. I think I was 24 at the time, and the lady on the front row, this was in central Mexico, and she had a baby on her lap that got hungry. So what do you do in that situation, right? You feed the baby. Okay, well, I was a 24-year-old getting, like, teaching. I was not as prepared for what happened in that moment, okay? And you guys can kind of fill in the blanks, but all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, okay? Jesus. Okay, and then I just was like, amen, okay? So that was it. So questions won't bother me, trust me. I've been through a way weirder, okay? And not that that's weird, but again, as a 24-year-old, that catches you off guard slightly. So that said, let's dive on in. And really, just the main thought that we want to hold on to, is simply this. We forgive because we have been forgiven, and that forgiveness changes everything about how we live our lives. All right, so let's look at this in my glasses because I'm old now. Here we go. I can see. And let's start in verse 21. It says, "Then Peter came up and said to him, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times.'" And we know that he doesn't really mean a literal 77 times in this moment. What Jesus is actually saying to Peter is, you keep forgiving. There's not a number, there's not a limit. And if there is, I mean, just think about this. This is Jesus talking. Wouldn't we then understand that as saying then God would have a limit on how much he'd forgive us? This is the beauty of grace. There is no limit. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sin, past, present, and future. He already knows what your life looks like. And guess what? He loves you. It's beautiful, right? So therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, basically a lot. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. Basically, he said, there's nothing you could do apart from everything you are. And even then, it would be insufficient. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, having patience with me. I will pay you everything. And the beauty of this is the master in this, like we know that the truth of it is this guy's never going to be able to pay him. He's not going to be able to make this right. But this guy begs for forgiveness and says, I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. And when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, and have patience with me, and I will pay you. And he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the master all that had taken place. And his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay off all of his debt. And so also, listen to this, and so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus is giving us this story right here to show that forgiveness is not an optional for his followers. It's a requirement. It is essential. And here's the thing. With the freedom of forgiveness comes the great responsibility to forgive others. And, you know, I started the story with kind of my place, my experience in church. Honestly, I look back and I see the church that I grew up in, and it was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not looking back at it with, you know, just bitterness. I see it as something that was so critical to who I am today. And so many of the people in that church that I grew up with were loving and caring. But for someone growing up, and maybe this will be something that you can relate to, but someone growing up with really looking for answers, looking for hope, looking for something. I grew up in a single parent home, very, very low income, lots of struggles on its own. And instead of seeing that hope that I was looking for, what I saw was someone being treated differently because of a socioeconomic status or because, well, the home looks different than what the perfect home looks like. Because it wasn't my perfect image of what, you know, we say this is what church people should be. And I saw that, and it didn't make sense. It didn't line up with what Jesus looked like in the Bible. And to me, that caused me to resent the church deeply. Now, the question is what about us? Like, do we often look like Jesus, or do we look more like our own design of what church should look like? And shouldn't we also understand that to be something that might actually cause others looking in, looking for hope and answers, to resent us as well? Yeah. It absolutely should. And this is why it's so important. What Jesus is teaching in this moment, this is why it's so critical. We're forgiven people. If anything, we should be the most forgiving people in a world that is just steeped with unforgiveness. This world is so fractured. And yet the one place where people should be able to look for unity toward forgiving others, toward the display of mercy and grace. Like, what was it Jesus said whenever he was quoting scripture? It wasn't that he desired sacrifice, but mercy. Mercy. He wanted people to see others and love them. And this is why it's essential. It's not that we are forgiven and now we get to rule with a mighty iron fist, but as forgiven people, we should love and serve with grace. This is why the least is first and the first is last. This is why Jesus, the Messiah, knelt down and washed feet. Because it wasn't about being served, but serving. And forgiveness is key to that. Now, We need to understand that Jesus gives us this story to show that forgiveness is not optional for his followers, but it's essential, and that forgiveness starts with God's mercy toward us. You see, the first thing for us to understand, like this should be the catalyst for our forgiveness, is knowing that we have been forgiven of much. We are the servant that owed a lot. And listen, it doesn't matter if your story is grimy or less grimy. Like one sin is something that separates you infinitely from a perfect God. And because of that, we could never repay. And yet God in his grace and mercy sent his son to die so that we could have that kind of forgiveness. And what that also means is whether you're like, hey, I was a straight A student, I studied hard, I prayed, I took my vitamins, right? Like all of these things. Whether that's you or, man, I've been in prison, I have done this, it's been deplorable, I've done that. It doesn't matter. Forgiveness is open to all. And all of us are in the same place in regards to our station with God apart from Christ. We're infinitely separated, so it doesn't matter. We all owed a great debt and could never pay the debt of our sin against the holy God. And it's kind of like this, a man with a $1 trillion debt erased in a moment. Like, if that was you, let's just imagine if we all have a mortgage for a minute. If you went to the bank on Monday and they said, you know what, it's paid in full. Celebrate, right? Man, I'm going to Dairy Queen, right? Like, we're going to have a party. And that's really what's happening here. What Jesus is saying is, like, this is where it starts. It starts with us recognizing that we have been saved from much, so we have a lot to be grateful for. And guess what? This saving was not of our own effort, but it was all from him, authored through him, provided through him, by faith in him, and even the faith itself is given from him. So we just should be grateful. Not condemning. And before we think about forgiving others, the first thing that starts in our heart should be that we sit in the reality of God's forgiveness toward us, because gratitude will change our attitude. I was diagnosed with cancer back in 2023, and I asked my radiation oncologist, I was like, man, hey, what's going to be the thing that gets me through this in the dark nights of the soul? And he said, gratitude. He said, because there are things that cancer can't take from you. Be grateful for that. And you know what? No matter what life hands at you, guess what? There are some things that Satan cannot take from you. And you know what? Forgiveness is one of those. Because that's a gift from God, and nothing can rob you of that. So we need to sit in that. Sit in a place of gratitude. Okay? And then we should understand what this is teaching. If we refuse to give, there are some outcomes of that. One, it doesn't just hurt the other person. We also hurt ourselves. You see, unforgiveness is a spiritual prison. It's like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. That's what unforgiveness is. It's like drinking something that you're like, let me drink this poison, and you look at somebody just any minute now. Right? Because it holds you captive. It only harms you. It doesn't even harm the person that you aren't forgiving. Do you know that? And in most cases, a lot of times, the resentments that we hold on to, this is the funny thing, the ironic thing about forgiveness or the lack thereof, is that oftentimes the people that we haven't forgiven don't even know that we're angry at them. Now, anybody that's been married knows that's true, right? I half the time don't know when I'm in trouble. I just typically just accept it because I probably did it, you know? But that's the truth. You know what? It's my bad. You know, that's what I do. Yeah. The unforgiving servant was handed over to the jailers. And in many ways, the bitterness locks us up just like it did in chains for this person, but it locks us up emotionally, spiritually, and sometimes even physically. You know, I tell the story briefly about my dad, and I know I got to speed up, so it's fine. My dad, honestly, was not a great person. Let's just say that. I'm not going to degrade him. He's passed on at this point. But I did hate my dad for a lot of years, you know, just for so many reasons. And I had the privilege of work to travel to Florida, where he was living at the time. And I was about 20, 30 minutes away from him. So I had it in my mind that I'm going to drive and see my dad, and I'm going to fight this guy. All right, and you know, maybe you guys are a lot holier than me, but that's just the way I grew up in the woods and the mountains was, you know, you fight when there's an issue, right? So anyways, I went to fight my dad. And when I saw my dad, I saw a man that was, I mean, honestly, literally dying. He died a few months later. But I saw someone that was unhealthy, not just physically, but I saw a man that had a family that wanted to love him. And kids that wanted to love him, and a wife that wanted to love him, and yet he had chosen to live in squalor in a little camper by himself and die alone. And God used that moment to change my anger and my hate to pity and forgiveness and love. And you know, I forgave my dad that day. And you know who got freed from that moment of forgiveness? Me. And that's what forgiveness does. Really, more times than not, it frees you. It frees me. And yeah, there's a part of forgiveness that frees the other person. That's absolutely true. But the person that is most bound to the lack of forgiveness is the owner of the resentment. Now, I think we should always ask ourselves, what walls are we sitting behind today because of a grudge? And then that should lead us to understand that forgiveness is powerful, but it doesn't mean we throw it away, we throw away wisdom, because forgiveness doesn't mean removing boundaries. And that's the other side. I think sometimes we think of forgiveness meaning we just let it all go and we put ourselves in the same situation, but to be honest, that's stupid. Okay? Let's just call it what it is. If you had someone driving drunk and they killed a family member, and you went to forgive them, would you also then give them your car keys and a 40 ounce? Be stupid. No, we don't do that. We know better. But we do it in relationships a lot, don't we? Like, well, I know he said he'd never hit me again. She said she'd never do this. Or I know he's a friend of mine and he said he'd never do that. And then we put ourselves in the same situation. Listen, forgiveness and healthy boundaries work together. And we operate like that all the time. It's just so often we won't operate that in our most intimate relationships because we're afraid of what that might actually mean. But we need to understand that forgiveness doesn't mean that we don't have a healthy boundary. Instead, forgiving someone is releasing the debt, but boundaries are preventing further harm. We have to put ourselves in situations not to be hurt. Like, we'll be hurt without setting ourselves on a tee to be hit. Do you understand? Like, you can go to Walmart and be offended. Am I right? You don't have to, like, be like, where can I go somewhere and just let me find somebody that's going to disrespect me today? I'd like to hang out with them. Right? No, you will get that anywhere. So why sign up for more on purpose? Like, Jesus doesn't call us to go looking around for people to hurt us. He tells us that that stuff will happen on its own. And we've lived long enough to know that that's true. So forgiving a reckless driver doesn't mean handing them your car keys. We can forgive someone who's harmed us, but we don't have to actually place ourselves in a position to be harmed again. And that's not even unforgiveness. It's just stewardship of our well-being. If we're constantly putting ourselves in a position just to be abused or hurt, we honestly limit how we can actually serve other people. Because hurt people have a hard time being able to pour out. When you're always empty, what are you going to pour out? Nothing. Got nothing. Nothing. I'm running on E. Forgiveness and boundaries require obedience to God, but forgiveness in itself, again, is not optional. And we see that in a couple of scripture references. I'll just say what they are. Colossians 3:13 and Matthew 6:14 through 15. If you guys want to read those on your own, this is just further referencing of where forgiveness is a command and not a suggestion. Jesus ties God's forgiveness toward us in these sets of scriptures and even here toward our forgiveness of other people. You see, a judge pardoning because the law demands it, not because of a feeling he or she has. Your forgiveness isn't about how you feel either. I don't really, who here came in here today thinking, I know there's some people that I need to forgive, right? And who here, even in this sermon, in their hearts, just like, I just feel so good about going and forgiving them. None of us. right now, if we go to the small group after this, we're all going to lie and say, yeah, I had that feeling. I felt in my heart just so excited to forgive. You're lying. That's just your Sunday school answer. That's what we do. Truth is, none of us are like, I can't wait to go forgive people today. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you feel like it. God commands us to live a certain way, regardless of how you feel. And doesn't he tell us that we shouldn't trust our hearts all the time? Because what? It can be deceptively wicked. If we only let our feelings guide us, we will definitely wreck the car. Try it. Just close your eyes. See where it takes you. Right? Into a ditch, most likely. And that's really what the heart can do. So we got to lean into the truth of Scripture and understand it's calling us to follow with obedience. You see, forgiveness starts as a choice, and the feelings often follow later. That's the beauty of it, is that when we act out of obedience and we do what God has called us to do, the beauty of it is this, is that when we start to live in the right alignment with God and His Word, we start to see our heart's desires follow suit. Like, for example, whenever you first became a Christian, was Sunday morning really easy to get up and go to church for? No. Was doing your Bible study really easy? No. Spending time in prayer? No. Being accountable to one another? That's still not always easy. But the more that we follow Scripture, the more that we surrender to what God has called us, the more we faithfully live out in obedience. Like I said, for me, early on in faith, I struggled, especially with the church. One of my favorite, we were talking earlier, Jeff, right? Like, one of my favorite things now, it's just, and I'm not an extrovert, as a side note. I can put on an extroverted mask, but I really like to be alone. But I love being in church. And that's not because I like people, to be honest. Like, I don't like being around people. There are too many insecurities with it. Most of the time, it's like, you know, you always question and doubt, and you have all these things. But man, in church, it's like the one place where I leave, and I'm like, I'm so glad I was around people today. It's because these are the people out of anyone I know should be for me. I like to be around my family. I didn't always like that. Like, it was not as natural. But the more we lean into, the more it changes our heart. Jesus makes this clear. It's not a one-time act, but a lifestyle. I mean, that's where we get forgiving people, forgive freely and frequently. Peter's question about how many times. I mean, to say you forgive somebody seven times is pretty generous, but Jesus said, no, man, 77. And essentially what he was saying is you don't get to stop forgiving. This life is going to be filled where people wrong you, and you will forgive them for the rest of your life. That's what it means. It's kind of like erasing a chalkboard over and over and over and over again, no matter how many times it gets written on. You know, you still use the eraser, and then you start again with some chalk. Or a dry erase board, I guess, for now. Or now kids are probably just, you know, typing it and it's on the board. But you all know, we get it. We can relate with the chalk. Make forgiveness a part of your spiritual reflexes and not a rare decision. So I guess, and we're going to close because I know we're at time. Where do we begin? Where do we begin with this? We start at the foot of the cross. Again, I started it earlier in the sermon. We start over here as a recipient of forgiveness and grace from Jesus. And that is exactly where we start. We start as Christians on our knees, on our faces, just deeply grateful for what God has done. And guess what? If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never made a choice to follow Jesus, like you're like, man, I've always been intrigued by the gospel, but I didn't really know what it was about. This is what it's about. It's about the fact that you and I and everyone in this room, none of us deserve the grace that God has given. None of us deserve the forgiveness that is offered. None of us deserve the grace, the mercy, the peace. We don't deserve any of it. And yet Jesus on the cross offers it to us freely, free for us, but it costs him everything. And it doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you do or don't know. It doesn't matter if you had a Bible with you this morning or not. It doesn't matter how you came dressed. It doesn't matter what you're going to get into after this service. It doesn't matter. There is nothing about this world that matters so much as this, that Jesus, the Son of God, died so that you can have freedom. And that is it. So we start here today. If that's you, you start in the same position for us. We just say, thank you, God, help me. What does it mean to get saved? How do we get saved? How do we find Christianity? How do we find our faith? We ask Jesus to give it to us, and then he works the rest of it out. It's that simple. You don't have to pray anything special. You don't have to go do a dance. You don't have to do this, that, or the other. The truth is, it's all already been done. Will you trust him? And that is it. And we start right here with a heart full of gratitude and a willingness to forgive everybody else. That's how it starts. We start with gratitude, and we walk out these doors, and we forgive. In fact, Jesus, the New Testament, we go in and we see, and I believe it was Jesus, and I can't remember the scripture reference, but he says, if you know that a brother has something against you, you lay your gift at the altar. You leave and walk away, and you go, and you make it right before you come back and offer the gift. Like, that's how important forgiveness is. Our songs are meaningless. Our words are meaningless if we hold resentment in our heart. Like, these are just the ways that we worship. This is orthodoxy. This is how we practice our faith, in a display for other people to see. But if in our heart we aren't forgiving other people, this is just hand signs. This is just sound. It's nothing. He desires mercy, not sacrifice. So how does it start? We say, thank you, God. And then we go and we try to be a people that forgive other people. And we try to make it right. And then we help people that are hurting, and we bring them to the only person that we know that can forgive sin, that can help restore life, that can give hope to the hopeless. He is the author of our salvation and the savior of our souls. He is our everything. That's who we bring them to. So for those that have been forgiven much by God, we start by extending forgiveness to others. So I would ask everyone, as we close, and we'll have a time to approach if you want to pray, and I'll be here to pray with you. I would just ask everybody to take a moment to think of one name. Just start with one name of someone that you haven't forgiven. We all have one. We probably have many. But today, let's leave this building with one less. In our hearts, let's ask God to help us. They may not even know that you haven't forgiven. They may not even know they've wronged you. And that doesn't even matter. We can figure that out when you walk out these doors. Let's start with one name. Ask God to bring it into our hearts and into our minds. And let's say it in here as we pray. And let's forgive them right here and right now. And then from that point on, when you go out these doors, you know what's next. If you need to call them, if you need to go see them, whatever you need to do, go do it. It's that important. You want to be a people that makes a difference in this world, then it starts right here. It starts at the cross with us accepting his grace, and it starts with us being a people that forgives others. That's love. That's the gospel. And that's what God has called us to do. So pray for his strength to forgive, his wisdom to set boundaries, and his grace to heal hearts. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are. God, I love you. I'm so grateful that you have forgiven me of the sin in my life. I'm so grateful that you forgive me of the sin in my future. Because I know I'm not going to be perfect, but God, you forgive me. And here's the beauty in that. Because you've forgiven me, the people that will sin against me in my life today, tomorrow, and moving on, you will give me the power to forgive them. So God, help me to be a forgiving person. Help me to be a representative of your name. Help me to look more like you. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.